he has the potential to, I'll say it, he has the potential to be the best player in the world.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Right, patrons, it's question time. And James, last episode, you didn't put we're recording, so I'm trying to figure out when to start.
Sorry.
It's all right. It's all good because I've found...
I'll do it now.
Right, we start with Stian, Therapy, FPL. Edition edited 25th of April. So edited... What's the date today, fam? It's today, isn't it?
Yeah. Are you going backwards?
It feels a bit reactionary of me. No, he asked this last week. And then has edited it today. Feels a bit reactionary, but I'll let it stand to get your views anyway. He was having a bad day. 500,000 per week for Haaland. That's 5.7 million Norwegian kroner, which is a large amount more than his salary.
Jesus fuck, did you go to school?
At what point does it become, well, he's put his 10.5 times his yearly salary. I almost felt, but he's put it in the question, so I'm happy to put it in there. I didn't want to equate his annual salary to everybody, but...
No, not you, not him, you.
What?
The way you were reading it.
No, yeah, I'm saying, I was trying to avoid giving everyone Stian's annual salary, which I still couldn't figure out anyway doing the math. But at what point does it come to the stage where we all say no more? I think it's
long past that, mate.
It's crazy, yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. There are more bankers earning more money than Premier League footballers that probably do less work.
Listen, let's put it like this, right? Look at the growth of, say, let's take Chelsea as an example. How much did Abramovich buy Chelsea for?
200 million, maybe? I don't know.
Wasn't even that, was it? I don't think.
Probably not. They're in debt.
Anyway, now what the value of the club's 3 billion in what, 20 years' time? How long, when did he take over? 03, I want to say. So let's call it 20 years. So in 20 years' time, do you think Chelsea would be worth less than 3 billion?
No.
Do you think the...
But will the growth be the same in the next 20 years? No.
Do you think the... Yeah, but our endorsements and sponsorships and all, it just keeps going up and up and up, right? If football clubs have money... The majority of that money is going to go on their key personnel. The key personnel is the players. So it's never going to stop. These clubs are continually going to be paying 60, 70% of their income to the playing staff. That ship has sailed. Long gone.
I agree with you that the majority of clubs' expenditure will be on players' salaries. But I think there will come a ceiling as to what football is worth. Like, it's going to... grow at a much slower rate in the next 10 years than it has in the last 10 years or 20 years.
Do you really believe that?
Yeah.
When things like clearly like the American market is still, they can make a lot more out of it and stuff. I don't think it does.
Perhaps. I mean, you look at the likes of Elon and Bezos, like these guys are worth $150-200 billion each.
Yeah, and what if one of them wants to buy a football club?
But how can they have so... I understand how they can have so much money, but I think there will be a shift in mentality where people will get taxed more, and I think it will change the perspective. I think it will grow at a slower rate.
So you think football clubs will get taxed more?
I think rich will get taxed more.
Okay. But then just that I don't see what that changes. It just means the players will get taxed more, doesn't it?
Players will get... They might be willing to spend less money on this kind of stuff. Well, we'll see what happens. But yeah, things have only gotten more, Stian. So it's not going to stop. But it's the rate at which it continues to grow will slow down. Gary Mantle, if Man United were being managed by Sir Alex Ferguson this season, where would they finish? Top four.
Fourth.
You'd get enough of a song out of them defensively to not shit the bed as often as they do.
That you certainly wouldn't have seen performances... like at Everton, for example, there wouldn't have been days like that. You, in the 20 plus years of Ferguson, actually it's 20 years in the Premier League, how many times could you count your hand and say Manchester United didn't put the effort in today?
No, it didn't happen. Didn't happen. You get booed.
And they took some beatings. Go back and watch when they got battered at Newcastle 5-0. And you can't look at that game and say Man United didn't put the effort in that day.
Dhruv Garodia. I think it's Dhruv's first question ever in this pod format. I remember
I've had
most
a few
names,
of him, I think.
But not in this Q&A.
All right, let's go.
Well, he says he has no wild card, but two chips, bench boost and free hit.
Yep.
I'm thinking about free hit and 36 if City double, because Chelsea's fixtures being so close guarantees only one fixture for everyone, as you have alluded to, you feel.
I mean, it's not a guarantee, but yep.
But Mendy, he says, okay, one fixture for everyone but Mendy, which leaves more upside then, but struggling to figure out a bench boost in 37. Really confused, is it, as to what route to go? I know it's team specific, but I hope you can help me out a bit. Well, the thing with 37 is there's great cheap options from Everton, Leicester, Villa.
It's the same for 36.
Yeah. That's true. But then he's got the free hit where he can power in to doublers, more doublers. So would you rather have 11 doublers from 36 or 4 doublers for bench boost in 37?
I'd rather bench boost in 36.
Okay. Mm.
Perfect reason for that is game week 37, you've got Liverpool away to Southampton, you've got City away to West Ham. Say you've got someone like Laporte, guaranteed to play?
No one's guaranteed to play.
But he's guaranteed to play once, isn't he, in 36?
Once, yeah.
If City double in 36.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's really dependent in terms, like, it drives out, he's not got wild card left, right? So it's really dependent on how you're set up and stuff. I was just doing this for the advanced tier videos, that I saw Big Man Bakker, who's brilliant, right, from The Wire, saying if you've got free hit left, it has to be in game week 37. But how can it have to be in game week 37 based on what I explained earlier on the pod? That it might be that game week 38 is better. But his take on it was that you don't want, it kind of what I said, but the reverse, you don't want the Everton players at Arsenal, you don't want the Villa players at Man City going into game week 38, but you do want them in 37. Yep, get that completely. But then I've got the wild card to go with them for the next 3 weeks and then free hit off them if I decide to go down that route. There is no right wrong. There's right. There's what's right for you. I don't get that. It has to be yada, yada, yada. I've been set on free hit 37 for 7-8 weeks and I'm possibly changing my mind now.
Shifo, Karim says, thanks guys for letting me remember my age with the UEFA Champions League quiz, semis quiz anyway. You got the first six wrong and all the rest right. From that, can you guess his age? So we started in 2001, the quiz. Or was it 2000? It's 2000.
It's 28.
So got the first six wrong. So he would have been, I'm going to guess, age 11 in 2007.
So what age would that make him now?
So that's 14 years, so 25, 26. Somewhere between 25 and 28, Shifo, is what we're guessing you are.
I'm going 28.
Okay. Harbour boy, Wayne Rooney is still surprisingly young. He is. What other records could he have broken if he had Ronaldo, Thiago levels of fitness and longevity? Premier League goal scoring? Maybe.
But maybe he wouldn't have exploded in the way he did because he was such an unusual build for a 17, 18-year-old, right?
Mm.
He was a man at like 17, wasn't he? But, I mean, if he'd have played, if he'd have kept that physique from 17 to 37, then I don't know if we're talking quite Messi Ronaldo levels of goals because he never had a season that was... I mean, would Messi get 1 year 80 fucking free or something absurd? But I mean, he would smash Shearer's record and stuff like that.
That must be league goals. Didn't he get 100 calendar in a calendar year, including Argentina? I think including Argentina.
Yeah, 2012 got 83 goals. Yeah. This is ridiculous. Do you understand? That's a goal like every 5 days, roughly.
It's mental. Mental. I forget the assisting and included.
It took like 6 weeks off in the middle as well, right? It's insane.
Jarvo says, do you think Salah will leave if Liverpool win it all this season? I think Salah will stay. I think his desire is to stay. I think he's loved at Liverpool. They just need to get the money right.
Yeah, I think he'll end up staying. I think. But I also think if Liverpool don't sort out the contract and the fact that Diaz has gone in there and hit the ground running, they might move it. they might move it. They might look at it and go, right, everything's won, reset.
He doesn't, his contract doesn't expire in the summer, does it?
No, not this
it's
year.
Next
no.
year. Next so they could still get a fee for him, which would be 100 million, surely.
Yeah. Yeah, comfortably, yeah.
Yeah. Finton, Fulham and Norwich haven't played each other in a competitive fixture since March 2018. So that's 4 years now coming up to. Yeah. When will they next play each other in a league match, and what league will it be in?
The same year they'll play Watford.
It's just yo-yo each other. It's a great question.
In the Championship in about 4 years. I'm going to say Premier League the following year.
Yeah, season. I think yeah. Fulham will stay up, and I think Norwich got a good chance of getting back. I think Premier League season off the next. Stian, if you ran your business like Manchester United is run right now, Switch, how long until you'd have to close the doors? But they are run well as a business. They just have a shit team. As a business, they make more money than anybody, surely.
Are they run well as a business, i.e. the amount of money that gets pulled out of the club?
Well, as a business owner, it's fine. Like if I was running this business like Man United and I could just take all the cash out all the time and it still continued to function, fine. You don't, like, we have to reinvest in growth, right? Hire more people, get bigger premises, get more stock, open new things like new countries that we're trading in, whatever, whatever. So we reinvest the money rather than take it out and do what the Glazers do. But if we did it the other way around and we're here, I mean, there's money to take out, isn't there, at the end of the day? They're well run as a business. You can't deny that. But I think
that's
just
because... doesn't it run itself? I mean, they don't even need Champions League football to be massive.
Exactly. But eventually, that will stop. Eventually, they will not be able to get the commercial deals that they can run. They're still living off legacy.
I don't think that ever changed. I think there's five clubs.
They're living off legacy, though.
Madrid, Barcelona, Manchester United, Liverpool and Bayern Munich. I don't think it matters what they do. The endorsements will always be there.
After 20 years, they won't. If they don't get Champions League for 10 years in a row, it will start to wane.
It's still Manchester United.
It will start to wane. But then other clubs come in and fill that void, right?
It's still arguably, and I don't know the numbers, it's still arguably the best supported club globally in the world. That's not going to change 10 years without Champions League football.
No.
Look at City, right? Reality is, we've discussed this before, City could win their title for the same 10 years in a row, win the Champions League five times in the next 10 years, and United might finish 7th or 8th every year. City still won't be bigger than United.
Do you know what? I mentioned I went to Putt Shack at the weekend. There were two different occasions I saw kids walking around in Man United shirts. Like, they were little, like 9 years old. Yeah, proves the point. You look there at you it go. And you're like, what the fuck are you wearing a Man United shirt for?
You ever see someone walk down the street in a Man City shirt?
Never.
Ever?
Never. Honestly, go. Never. Jarvo. But this is, I think, an influence of dads with some, like, who've grown up supporting Man United now getting their kids into supporting Man United.
But your kids go to school, right? So here's a question for you, for mostly. Your kids. And ask your kids when you next see them, if you ever see them, to, you know, today, tomorrow, whenever. Do any of the kids at school support Man City? Ask them.
There's no one.
Well, there you go then.
There's no one.
But so exactly.
I was, I remember the week after we lost to Old Trafford in the last minute, away. And I was in the playground. I was given... What do you remember the Spurs result that weekend?
From when?
When we lost away at Old Trafford last minute. You know, 1-0 this season. A few months ago. Oh. You probably won't remember.
January time, I think we played the next day. In fact, I think that's the weekend we was meant to play Arsenal, maybe.
Okay. I was...
when they bottled it.
I was talking, you bottled it.
No, Arsenal, it didn't turn up, did they?
I can't remember, I was talking to one of the kids in the playground in my kids' year. Remember, these are 8, 9 year olds, and one of them starts piping up, yeah, we beat you at the weekend. And they're giving it all the big on the 8.
That's incorrect, actually. I tell you, it is when we lost at Chelsea the next day.
That's probably, I know there's one particular Tottenham fan who's a good kid. I give him grief, though. Anyway, Jarvis says, can we have an update on Manchild's fantasy team? Manchild's fantasy team could have been hacked for all he knows, and he would have no idea how he's doing.
All right, let's log in and have a look.
You can see in the league, can't you?
Yeah, well, I do. Just go back to the City Liverpool point, right? I bet there's kids at that school support Liverpool.
Yep, quite a few. But then, to be fair, like one of them, his dad's from Liverpool, so I can't argue with him, and he's a good, he's a scout, so he goes to the games. Another one, I know who supports Liverpool. I have no idea why he supports Liverpool. I think his uncle. Or
so Manchild is 2.5 million overall.
Not bad considering he ain't done fuck all season.
Wow.
Read his team up. Read his team up.
His goalkeepers are Martinez and Gunn.
Okay.
His defenders are Cresswell, Rudiger, Stones, Shimikas, and Mumba. Midfield, he's got Salah captain. This is all right, actually. Salah captain, Mount, Son, Saka. He's got Grealish. His forwards are Ings, Tony, and Pukki.
It's not the worst.
That back line is fucking horrendous.
Shit. That's pretty shit. David Beaton, pick a midfield three from Busquets, Javi, Iniesta, Modric.
That's it. Now finish.
Modric.
It's them three.
Xabi Alonso, Lampard, Gerrard, Scholes.
The first three.
Yeah.
By miles.
There's no point in trying to mix in any of the others. Scholes.
Absolutely miles. Gerrard. I'm not going to have... Listen, I've followed Luka Modric's career better than most, right? Amazing footballer. And I realise it's recency bias. I'm not going to have for a fucking minute that he's better than Iniesta or Xavi. No way. And Busquets is the only one there that's the out-and-out real sitter. Maybe you could argue Xabi Alonso. But no, Busquets is better. Xabi Alonso, amazing range of passing. Busquets is a genius.
Right. Carl is trying for the third time and final time. Let's get this answered for him, James. If there was a Masters fantasy football game, who would be your main pick? Masters is what? Over 40s?
Yeah, but do you know what? It's always...
Thierry Henry. Done.
Whenever it comes round, it's always like the random one. It'd be like, oh, he was a reserve player at Newcastle, but he's only 36 and he's tearing it up because his fitness is still good. It's always someone like that, mate.
I'm going to go with Thierry Henry. I'd have him.
So we're saying now, we'll go like that, Jermaine Defoe, something like that.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Jermaine Defoe. I don't follow Masters football and I don't really know.
Let's see how many, suppose it's come back, let's see how many high profile players they get. And if it's very good, then me and Sidge will start a fantasy game. We'll make it with the help of Gaffer.
Right, it descends into a bit of a conversation here about golfers playing football and Masters football golf. And it ends with Carl saying, somebody kill me. sorry about these. Stian, on this day in 2017, I wrote on Facebook that the Matic goal against Spurs in the FA Cup was the definition of football porn. A poor statement in retrospect.
Yeah, did you see Luis Diaz's control yesterday?
James.
Did you see Luis Diaz's control yesterday?
So there's a big debate about this goal that he's talking about.
This goal that Matic scored against Tottenham. No recollection of it whatsoever. None.
You probably do.
Never happened, other than it was the fourth goal in the semi-final. Next.
Claire, easily.
The problem with that goal was he didn't hit it hard enough. Oh. I mean, it was a thunder bastard, they call it.
Claire says, the best biscuit for tea are Cadbury fingers. Nah. Bite the ends off and suck your tea through it, then eat. Trust me, it's the best.
I will say one thing
on
about
Thursday,
chocolate fingers.
Claire's coming to the game on Thursday. She'll sit where me and Sham and these. If you bring a packet of Cadbury's fingers, I'll buy the tea and we'll try this out at the...
You're going to go to a European semi-final and eat fucking chocolate fingers and tea?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah,
you lot have gone soft.
Yeah.
Can I say one thing
first leg,
about chocolate fingers though? And this will cause a better debate. Chocolate fingers are the chocolate version of Pringles.
Elaborate.
Once you start with them...
Oh, you have to eat the whole box.
The whole fucking lot will go.
I don't like biscuits with chocolate on the outside because when you hold them, it melts a little bit and your fingers...
Oh, diddums.
Fucking, I don't like chocolate on the outside of biscuits. I've never been a chocolate fingers fan.
I don't like chocolate on the outside of a biscuit, but I put my jam toast in my tea. What the fuck?
It's perfectly fine. Oh, there was numerous moments this weekend that I was going to cause outrage on Slack. Firstly, by posting on Slack, but secondly, I had my toast with Nutella and coffee for breakfast on Saturday morning. And I was about
you ain't gonna
to
tell me you put the Nutella in the coffee.
Coffee toast with Nutella.
And you dipped it in the coffee.
Dipped it in the coffee. My wife is looking at me like, why are you taking a picture of this? I'm like, because people lose their shit about dipping stuff in.
Whatever you do, don't put it on Twitter.
Why?
Because these people were fucking rancid.
I was playing a game of Risk the other day. I put that on Twitter and it caused an outrage about what the best board game ever is. But anyway, Claire, Thursday, chocolate fingers. And we'll see. Maybe we'll dip it in Bovril. What a drink. Harbour Boy, is it better to take out your bad players and replace them with average ones, or take out your average players and replace them with good ones? Many of us faced this problem in Game Week 34 with the best options were Chelsea mids, but all our best players were already mids and our weak links in defence and forward. So which approach in general is usually best? It's a great question, actually.
Take out your average players for the good ones.
Yeah, I'm in agreement. Try and turn it into a 7-8 player game or 9 player game of like reliable, consistent, and fuck off the rest.
Reality is you have 5 good, really good returns in a game where you get 5 10 pointers, 50.
It's plenty.
You get 6 twos, is 62. Okay. This year, because of the doubles, that doesn't look as high as you'd possibly want, but generally speaking, 62 as an average is pretty decent.
You'll do all right. Yeah, 60 points a week. If you offer me 60 points a week for the whole season, I'll take it almost. Yeah. At all. I know this might be a loaded question, but is Maguire really that bad?
No, he's not.
He's not great, obviously, but I think he's getting scapegoated and everything wrong at United. Then he's an easy target due to his transfer fee and captaincy. Neither are his to control. I don't like it when people pile in on a specific player in the way they have.
He certainly doesn't help himself. I wouldn't say I've overly defended him. I think some of the criticism has been extremely harsh. But some of his decision-making at Anfield last week didn't help himself because he's guessing. And you know what? If you're going to guess on the side of caution. Don't guess on the, I'm going to step out into people when the space is behind you and you're playing Liverpool and it's absurd. So I did predict that he was going to get left out anyway. And then I saw, I didn't know that when I did the team news stream, but I think just before that, Samuel Luckhurst had tweeted. Actually, it might not have been Samuel Luckhurst. I think it was the United guy for The Athletic. I forget who it is. A tweet and said he was going to get left out. And obviously, I'd seen that afterwards and wasn't surprised. United have never played to his strengths. Arguably, he's not a Manchester United player. Like, to be honest, like if United don't want him, come to Tottenham. I'll have him down at Spurs. Fine. It would suit him better at Spurs with the system we're playing at the moment.
I overheard some conversation, I'm not even sure on what channel, but Paul Scholes apparently had spoken to Jesse Lingard, who was saying the dressing room's gone to shit and stuff.
Scott McTominay made some interesting comments at the weekend as well.
What did he say?
Similar, he's like, it's fucked.
Behind closed doors?
He's like, the whole club was fucked. Yeah, this was publicly.
Yeah. Ten Hag's going to love his payout after about 9 months of being in charge where they have to sack him and he gets fucking...
Well, I think we're going to be talking about this more tomorrow, Such, judging by the People's Poll podcast. I'm not surprised that it's going to win the vote.
Ten Hag?
Yeah, you put United in, the chance are going to win it. I was sort of hoping it wouldn't, but yeah, it is. I put it in the poll as well because we did Clash of Correspondence Thursday. An hour and fucking 10 minutes. We never mentioned his name once.
Mad.
Yeah.
Shifa, has anyone ever scored more BPS than Jesus in history? Probably
we
not.
We think not.
Mm. Mark Dorney, I'm not saying Spurs prioritise buying Eriksen, but we had him last 2 game weeks. We get 3 points minimum. Should we get him just to add options next season?
Yeah, if Tottenham can get him, they should get him.
Yeah, I agree.
But then I don't think it's a certainty that he starts every game.
Yeah.
But I think, do you know what? Tottenham need to get a creative central midfield player who can play, and he really can play. And actually, do you know what? Having watched him, and I have obviously watched him live a few times over the last couple of months, but actually seeing him in the flesh, he hasn't lost anything, mate. Mm. There is no drop-off in his level from the player he was a few years ago. In fact, he looks better now than the player who left Tottenham and looked disinterested at that time. So he's absolutely still got it.
Shifo, focusing on Villa with their brilliant next 3 game weeks, they feel that they're not in form, or they're not in form So what's wrong with them? And who are the best three FPL options? Well, you've picked them probably.
Cash, Coutinho, Watkins. Well, so straightforward.
I think Martinez is always up there as points per million or points per minute. But
is he?
Goalkeeper-wise. From Villa, for sure. Not from all goalkeepers, but from Villa.
Yeah, but Martinez, actually, if you look at the keepers this year, sorry, I'm trying to bring it up while I speak. Martinez is the 11th highest scoring
goalkeeper
with 111 points. It's three more than Sanchez, who started the season at a million less than him.
Who scored more FPL points from Villa?
Emi Martinez has had one double-digit return all season.
Who scored more points?
And that was when he saved a penalty in a 3-1 loss at Arsenal.
Who scored more points from FPL?
All right, let's have a look. All Villa. We can't include Coutinho. That's somewhat unfair. Yeah, yeah. In fact, no, let's not do that. Let's do points per match. Let's look at Villa players. So Martinez, 3.6 per match. Cash, 4.0. Tyrone Mings, 3.5.
To less.
0.5 cheaper. Coutinho is at 5.1. Jacob Ramsey is 3.4 per match. So that's 0.2 less than Martinez. John McGinn's 3 per match. Danny Ings and Watkins basically 3.5.
So not much of a likeness.
Yeah. I mean, put it this way. You ain't going to go double, and I can't make the case for Martinez over Cash.
No. I think it depends on your circumstance. I'd still pick Cash and go with... what's his name? Schmeichel. Chris Tellez, what are your favourite football shirts from other clubs other than ones you support? There's one that I saw Clayton show me the other. It's got a map on it and it's like...
I know the one you're talking about.
Because
it's
them.
It's someone in the Americas. I can't remember.
Yeah. I want to get my hands on that shirt. I like that shirt. That's a nice shirt.
I've always been fond of Barcelona's.
Yeah,
a little bit like Brazil in terms of iconic.
Mm.
Like yeah. With
Brazil classic.
With apologies to like Levante, Crystal Palace, and maybe Inverness Caledonian Thistle. No one else plays in red and blue. There's a big club.
Danny McDonald, 9 goals for JWP this season. Should we perma own him this season?
Hindsight, isn't it? It was only 7 this time last week.
That's true. I don't think we'll see what price he comes in at next year. He's 6.5 this year. It's 6.5
again. Won't change
much. Yeah. Unless he moves from Southampton.
But he was. I'm fairly certain he was like 6th or 7th highest scoring midfielder last year.
Yeah.
So what difference is it going to make? He's still a midfielder at Southampton, and you can have 6, 7, 8 game week runs of him where you'll get absolutely nothing. He's a big reason why I jumped up in Sky this week. I can tell you that.
Dan L. Does Richarlison rival Mope as the most dislikable player in the Premier League? Definitely angriest.
Oh, God.
And the thing is, Richarlison does roll around a lot. We had that situation with Kresi the other week and stuff. He rolls around a lot.
Yesterday, go back to the point we made on the pod about Jamie Carragher shouldn't be doing comms on a Liverpool game. Sit in the studio, do your analysis. He's brilliant on MNF, stuff like that. Don't do the comms, because Richarlison had gone down a number of times really easy, and Carragher had got to the kind of the kid who cried wolf stage, and Richarlison really did roll his ankle, really did, and Carragher's given it the you need to get up and all that, and actually this time legitimately he really had hurt himself, and it just came off really badly. But yeah, he is an absolute fucking bell end for Richarlison.
Yeah.
He really is. Really is.
How'd you feel if he turned up at Spurs?
I'd feel like fine, and he's my player, and I'd support him. I just think he's a really dislikable character. He always looks unhappy. Often looks like he's out there for himself. And to be fair, he does work hard and stuff. And the same is very true of Maupay. Maupay is just he's a wind-up geezer. Maupay's the guy you'd be out with, and he'd be at the bar, and he'd be like, oh, hear what he said about you.
Mm.
Whereas Richarlison would be the guy who's there and he'd be staring at you. That's the difference between the two of them.
Dan says, was Mane lucky not to get a red yet?
Yes.
And if Michael Jackson says, beat it to relegation, as in Mike Jackson, with a chance of getting the job permanently?
Can I be honest with you? If Burnley appoints someone else right now, that's mad.
Yes, crazy.
That's the way it's gone. And you have to say, and we did speak about this, that if they stayed up, and 94% of us generally were of the opinion that sacking Dyche was crazy, or at least a mistake, then it's a masterstroke, isn't it? If they stay up.
John Jaco, how many points do you expect Phil Foden to get this season? How many has he got so far, James? Do you want to pick it up? Has he underperformed?
120, I guess, maybe.
Has he underperformed as a fantasy asset, or is he on par to get what you'd expect? Or is he seven and a half?
He's on 118.
Yeah, so 7.5 million. Comparing to Mason Mount's on 150-odd. For a similar price. Saka's on 150-odd. Quite a few have outperformed him, but will he get a price rise regardless of his points, more on his age profile?
Well, he's scored less goals than James Ward-Prowse.
Well, he's played less minutes as well, let's be honest.
Listen, but he's playing for Manchester City, so there's always the possibility of the hike. But the fact that his ownership says 6%, no, I don't think he'll be in for a big hike.
No, I agree. I think he'll be still in around 7.5 or 8 million. Yeah, a bit more than the likes of Gundogan and so on, but not as much as the likes of Sterling and Mahrez.
I really thought, when Bernardo Silva had his run and we looked at him quite a lot, and it got to the point where it was like, a little bit like with Gundogan the year before, it was like, I should probably just get on this, and if it doesn't work, fine, come off. And a lot of us like me got stuck on for too long. But when we did that analysis on Bernardo, I was clear in saying, I think right now you go Bernardo because the form's too hot, but till the end of the season, Foden will be the one. And actually, if you look at points per match, just because I happen to have it up, same as Sterling, less than Mahrez, clearly less than De Bruyne, only slightly more than Bernardo. So where would that big hike come from? It wouldn't.
Also a close. Darren, what year does Luis Diaz win Ballon d'Or?
And also add on with Foden that he's a cheaper price now than he started with. Yeah. So how does he start next season at more?
Yeah. Agree.
When does who win Ballon d'Or?
Luis Diaz.
What year are we in?
2022.
Nah.
He
is ridiculous.
He's good, isn't he?
Do you know what I love about him? It's everything is intense. Off the ball, on the ball. He's direct. He's got the ability. What a find he is. Oh my God. Well, I mean, he's not a find, obviously, but... Yeah, Luke said it well the other week, and he's like, how have all the other big clubs just let him kind of... He was fucking joining us in January, right? Yeah. The fuck?
Yeah.
Unless it was a stitch-up for Porto to get more money out of Liverpool, which wouldn't surprise me. These deals happen. Yeah, Tottenham, put the fake bid in for it, and you can have one of our other players cheaper in the summer or whatever. Wouldn't surprise me. What a talent. My God. Like, I think he has the potential to... I'll say it. He has the potential to be the best player in the world.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds massive. The way Diaz, but he could do.
No, but he could.
He's phenomenal.
If Diaz took... The way Diaz took down that ball was like something you dunk in your tea, what would it be? Tea with toast. So it would be toast with butter and jam. Strawberry jam every time. Raspberry jam, even better. Jarvo, what for...
I'd say, I don't know what it'd be, but I'd have a lot of sugar.
What four fullbacks will West Ham play as our defence against Arsenal? Not something we discussed yet, but we do need to on Tottenham on Wednesday, is the fact that we have no centre-backs. He's going to call out the youth boys, I'm sure, against Arsenal.
Save it for Wednesday. No, I don't think he is.
It's a home game.
Yeah, I think he's going to go stronger on Sunday.
Yeah, we'll see. It's 4:30 kickoff, but stronger what? With who?
Well, I think like Rice plays, Bowen plays and that kind of thing.
No, but who plays at centre-back?
Well, we'll talk about it Wednesday, but I think Declan Rice will.
Oh, we'll see. I mean, there's a big game in between to worry about. Joe, who do you think has the better chance of coming straight back up out of Watford and Norwich? It depends who's managing Watford, surely.
Norwich.
I think with Dean Smith, they've got a better chance.
There's that. I mean, we don't know who's going to manage Watford. It won't be Roy Hodgson. And Watford have more of a rebuild to do, I would say. People like Dennis and Sarr and that will leave the club. Norwich could hold the whole team together again. If you're buying from Norwich, who'd you buy?
Pukki.
But do you? You don't, do you?
Well, considering we have no other strikers.
But if I said to you Watford, you'd say the forwards, wouldn't you? Watford aren't...
Sarr, straight away.
Dennis. King even. João Pedro, maybe.
Sissoko, maybe even.
Watford ain't in the shit, as much as we've bantered about the forwards this year. They ain't in the shit because of the forwards.
Yeah.
Decent.
Yeah.
But a lot of them will get bought.
Robin Frost, I don't get this question. How do you pronounce nice biscuits? Nice or nice?
I'm going to go for nice.
It's been vexing me for some time. I am somewhere in the middle. I usually call them nice.
I'd go with nice.
Nice.
I presume it's meant to be nice or nice, is it?
I guess so. It's going to go nice.
But what else is it? If
they're
it's
called
not,
nice.
But if it's not nice, what else would it be?
Exactly.
It's nice, isn't it?
Sam O'Sullivan, what are your thoughts on the government's decision to bring in an independent regulator for football in the UK? Overdue?
My opinion is they could have told me before I'd done the People's Poll topics this week. but it's not unexpected. No. Anyway, yes, it's good news, but I need to pour over the detail first.
Tim Kresner says, are there any wildcard specific pods this week?
Sorry? Yeah, what? Mine.
James is wildcard.
Oh, he probably means, are we doing any? Well, me and the wife are doing it Thursday, so that might be interesting.
Clayton says, I see back three tacks bandied about by kids on football Twitter a bit to discredit centre-backs. But do you think there's some merit in it? Do you think that a back three protects some centre-backs more and some look exposed in a back four? If so, what is it about the system that makes that happen? Rüdiger is an example that springs to mind.
Oh, Rüdiger would be fine in the four. He's got the recovery pace, he's got the physicality, he's got the leadership, he's got the dominance. That's not an issue with someone like Rüdiger. Adaptable to play both, I'd say. And I also think Harry Maguire can play in the back four. Harry Maguire played in the back four for Leicester primarily before United went and spent a fortune on him. So to say that he can't is incorrect. It's more about at United, the expectation is to be another kind of 10, 15 yards higher up the pitch and stuff, and that's not so comfortable for him. That's why I say at Tottenham, it'd be fine. Deeper starting positions. Honestly, it'd be fine at Spurs. You have more protection.
Of course.
There's less space in between you, isn't there?
Yeah.
And you can get drawn out of position and...
Someone will cover you.
Yeah, but that said, United played a back five at Liverpool. And, it didn't fucking help when Maguire stepped out and no one covered the space.
Yeah. Yeah. Harry G is seriously pissed off with how the wild card has gone. Lost loads of ground in mini leagues and taken a drop from 25k to 78k in a matter of weeks. He's thinking of going completely rogue with differentials for the rest of the season. Can you suggest two defenders and two midfielders and a striker with less than 15% ownership you'd take a punt on if you were winging the rest of the season? I don't know if you don't react like that.
Why not?
It's two bad weeks. Right? The players you picked on wildcard might go off next week.
But he wants differentials.
Yeah, but I think sometimes you can respond to. You can be too reactionary to a couple of bad game weeks.
What positions are we looking at?
Two defenders, two midfielders, and a striker.
Robertson, Laporte. Obvious ones. Matty Cash at Villa, we've mentioned. Mm. To be honest, a lot of this is going to be probably Villa stuff. Midfielders, Coutinho's 11% at the moment. Kevin De Bruyne,
yeah, I was going to say KDB must be below 15%.
Phil Foden, Wilfred Zaha.
Zaha.
Forwards, Richarlison.
All worth a shout.
Yeah, there's loads. Watkins, 8% owned. I mean, I could be wildcarding quite a few of these guys this week. And I realise their live ownership's more than their... But let's say they're out of template, put it that way.
If you could have played in any one of these three teams, which one would you have liked to play in, Austin?
Why do I... Well, Barcelona already, I feel like I'm going to say.
07-11 Barcelona.
I'll get my coat.
13-18 Madrid. Or 02-07 AC Milan.
This is not even a question.
I'll take the AC Milan team.
This is not even a question.
I'll be... It's a slower pace of football in Italy, so you can chill a bit more. Defence was so solid that they'll just mop up any mistakes. I'll take 0207 AC Milan. You can go
and play
that.
Take the Barca team, mate. I'll take the Busquets role in the Barca team, and you'll see how good Iniesta and Xavi are.
Well, I think if you played in that 07-11 Barcelona team.
As the bush gets roll, I think we still might have won the Champions League.
You might break Alan's record from Everton yesterday. Zero touches in a game. The fucking just pass around you. Like, don't worry, James. You just stand there and look
exactly.
Pretty.
Yeah, stand there, look pretty.
I reckon you could. That team could still beat teams with you on the pitch and you have zero touches.
I don't doubt that.
Gary Mansell. Is it a valid strategy to bring a player in due to ownership and effective ownership? Or is that FOMO and you should always just play it your way? For context, I sold JWP for Mount in Sky for no fixture gain as his ownership was 3 times higher and I regret it. It's a different game, isn't it? So viable in Sky, especially if you captain the player.
I wouldn't have advised that move in Sky. That has become a FOMO. Remember as well, right, look, Mason Mount in Sky Fantasy particularly, what's he really going to do for you? And I bought him in, but I didn't bring him in for Ward-Prowse. I bought him in to punt him, not actually with expectation from him. If you move for Ward-Prowse to Mount in FPL, like, thumbs up, like, it's the right decision.
Yeah.
It's absolutely the right decision. You can have the kind of the bias afterwards of bad outcome. No, listen, if you bought Mason Mount for James Ward-Prowse in FPL this week, that was the right decision. I don't give a fuck what the outcome is. He scored 2 goals from long range. You've made the right decision.
We've got a question here. Which player has become a cult hero at your club despite being a great player, i.e. Origi at Liverpool?
The first one that's come to mind is Stefan Freund.
He's a cult hero.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. Partly because he never scored as well. I remember he hit the bar against you one Monday night early in the 99-2000 season. He hit this thing like the fucking Nemanja Matic thunder bastard. Hit the bar, fucking roof would have come off. But yeah, he worked hard, he kicked people, he became iconic. But he just used to get the ball and give it to Ginola. Anything further than that was an issue. He was very, very average, which is interesting because he won the Champions League only a couple of years earlier. So him, I think, that's one that definitely springs to mind. You?
Recency bias, but I'm going to go... like Carlton Cole was never great.
I'll go with Asa, right? Yeah, I don't mind that as a shout.
Like, he started out at Chelsea, obviously, so he wasn't like a homegrown player for us. But then now he's getting all the media gigs covering West Ham, and he's very big and vocal as a West Ham fan now. But I don't think he grew up as a West Ham fan. He probably
grew up as a Chelsea fan. 50-odd
goals for us in a few hundred, 250 games. 1 in 4, 1 in 5. It's not great for a striker. He wasn't the best player, but he's now, like, because he does all the media and he gets on BT and he's trying to make himself proper Mr. West Ham. He's Mr. Chelsea.
Let's be honest.
He didn't really last there at all, but he played at a few other clubs. But still, Carlton Cole at the moment was not a good football player. Definitely not a great football player. And the other one that still is a bit like, he was a great football player and still is, was Payet. But when I look at it, he played fuck all games, scored fuck all goals, but still has this cult hero status because every goal he scored was a fucking world beater.
He's also Carlton Cole, famous for the best assist ever in a Tottenham West Ham derby.
Okay.
Great ball for Jermaine Defoe. He was wearing white.
Yeah, Carlton Cole doesn't surprise me. Darren says, I'm interested in your views on this. There's a chip in Alvescan Fantasy.
That's the Swedish, I think.
Okay, called Alvesenken. Lone Rangers, where basically you can free hit, but the limit of 3 players per team is removed. So in other words, you could pick a whole team of, say, City or Liverpool players.
Okay, yeah.
Say there's a week where City or Liverpool is the only team that has a double game week and the rest of the fixtures for the other teams are a mixed spread.
Yep.
How would you play this?
So we've got, we got a double Liverpool. For Liverpool.
Yeah, just pile into Liverpool, surely. And the rest is a spread. You couldn't afford everybody.
You would. I think you'd go with 8.
8 or 9, but you can afford 11.
I think you'd go 8. You'd go to whole back 5, i.e. including the goalkeeper. You'd go Salah. And you'd go 2 other attacking players, I think. Like, if you had a belief like Mane, Jota or Diaz played twice, you'd go them as well. But I don't think you go like Henderson, Thiago, shit like that. Henderson, maybe, if you thought we'd play twice. and Letty didn't start yesterday, I think you'd go with eight. And you could have thought, if you went with them eight, honestly, say you went with Salah, Diaz, Jota, and you went with a back line, you could probably work in at least one of like KDB, Son,
yeah,
and stuff like that as well. So eight, I think.
Carl Miller. Hi guys, as a new patron, would love to hear about content over the summer when Premier League is done. Certainly keeping it to continue to support, but interested to know what to expect. But yes, James, you do deserve the break you mentioned at the beginning. It's worth telling patrons, obviously, that we're not charging June, if they don't already know that.
Are we not?
You're the one that said it, we're not.
No, we obviously will not.
There's no content, so you won't get charged in June. So it'll pick up again in July. And to truth be told, Carl, we haven't actually like finalised it. We've done a number of things that work well, like 30 and 30 or 20 and 20 or whatever.
100%, correspondent week. 100% we'll do correspondent week again.
Content creator week. We don't know. Is the honest answer.
Do you know what? You're right. I've not thought about it at all.
And also, it's because there's loads. Our ideas are cheap. It's easy. We'll come up with loads of good ideas. We'll review when the game opens, obviously. Well, when we're back and the game's open, squads and transfer window will still be open and all that. What's the first week of the season? Mid-August?
We'll probably come back, and I imagine we'll probably start with a week of kind of featured pods, probably like one on the pricing, one on fixtures, one on chips. Like, we'll make a week's worth of it probably when we come back or something. I don't know if we're going to do anything kind of featured, like content creator week or something like that again. I don't know if it's going to work. Remember, season starts earlier as well.
Yeah.
So it's the 6th or something like that.
Mad. Right. Stian's last question of the show. When Klopp runs over to the fans and does his fist bump thing, some people say it's staged. I don't agree. It shows heart. Even though it's preemptive, I think it's passion. He loves it. He loves it, Kloppy.
The fans want him to do it.
Yeah.
It's fine.
He loves it. What would you rather?
It's fine. I think it's absolutely fine.
I think a connection between the manager and the fans is like so powerful. Oh, we haven't had it for ages.
Tell me about it.
Ages. Like, I saw a clip of Moyes going out in Lyon after everybody had gone and the stadium was basically empty. The fans were still penned in there singing to him and stuff. And how much is it going to big up you? How much is it going to big up your manager if he feels like the fans are on side and supporting me and singing "We've got Davey Moyes" and all that? I think it's so important. And Klopp, I mean, he's up there as one of the best. He's working his way.
It's like personality traits as well, right? So, like, if Guardiola suddenly did that at City, you'd go, "What the fuck?"
It's a bit weird.
It just works with him, doesn't it? Mm. He's absolutely fine. It's like there's certain things that certain managers you go, "Yep, that's fine." You expect Guardiola to be the way he is. You expect Klopp to be kind of thumping his chest. I expect Mikel Arteta to clap himself after Arsenal win a game of football. Like, these managers are. You expect certain things from them. I expect Conte to act like a nutcase. We know these things,
shit,
don't we?
Yeah. Good. There's your Q&A, patrons. Hope you enjoyed it today. We'll be back at you tomorrow.
We expect Frank Lampard to look confused.
Upset.
Sorry.
Stay safe. Ciao for now.
Thanks, patrons. Cue music, please, man child. I'm gonna miss you. 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 I'm g